Hi, this is Scott Stanley with DTG Ministries, exploring the deep things of God and trying to come to some conclusions on this Antichrist and the apostasy that's supposed to happen at the end of the world. I think from our last podcast that we see the apostasy was already beginning in John's day. John the Apostle, and would continue to the end, according to Paul. So if that be true, if I can read 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, and see that the Antichrists, plural, were already existent, and that they had separated from the apostolic church. See, that's an apostasy. If that be true, then this apostasy has been happening for 2,000 years. And we're not looking for an apostasy to happen. We're trying to get out of it. And it's essential that you understand that, because that is what the book of Revelation is about. It's about the people who come out of the apostasy and give the true message of God's love to the world. And as we continue in the podcast, I will show you step by step that that is exactly the truth. Well, right now we're looking at the Antichrist, and we've seen in 1 John 2:22 that the Antichrist denies the Father and Son. And we saw that Christ was born in eternity past. So if we have been in this apostasy all of our lives and just didn't realize it, see, what actually is apostasy to God? We were taught that's the way of life. That's the truth. And so all of our lives we have had this lie that we have been living in. And I think sometimes when we read the scripture, you know, we're reading it trying to put into it what we believe. So therefore, there are a lot of things that don't seem to add up. And Antichrist denies Father and Son in eternity. Remember what we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, that the people coming into the church had to believe that Christ was crucified for our sins, he was buried, he rose and was seen. So they believed Christ had come, died, buried, and rose to be part of the church. That's the basics, basically. So they will deny Father and Son. Well, you can deny Christ's birth and eternity, but still believe that he came and died and was buried and rose and appeared. And they all do. All the churches, all the Christian churches believe he died for their sin, that he rose, was raised from the dead. But the second thing that Antichrist has trouble with, according to John in John's day, we're going to read this in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, verse 1. But try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you heard it should come, even now already is it in the world. See, he says it right there. Already is it in the world. Started in John's day, will last to the end of the world. So I want you to consider this. verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. If they don't confess he's come in the flesh, he's not of God. So let's just settle on verse 2 for a second. Let's just sit here for a minute and think about this. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now you know, a surface reading of that, you know that that is not true. Everyone who confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The way we have taken that, see, to come in the flesh, what does that even mean? If you confess he has come in the flesh, you're of God. If you can't confess he's come in the flesh, you're not of God. Well, everybody on the planet confesses Jesus was here. So when it says, if you believe he came in the flesh, that does not mean, do you believe he literally came to this planet? Because we know that statement right there, 1 John 4:2, literally taking that on the surface, to believe he came, you're true. See, you know that that's not a true statement. That come in the flesh has to have a deeper meaning than that. See, let me again. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Okay. We know that is not a true statement unless we redefine what it means to come in the flesh. What does it mean that he came in the flesh? Everybody believes he came. Antichrist, who came out of the apostles, believed Jesus came. So that verse cannot mean if you just believe he came. No, it says if you believe he came in the flesh. Well, I want to read a verse to you, and this is in Romans 8. And why did I pick Romans 8? These verses are all over the place. But I thought this was pretty clear. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is the difference there between flesh and spirit? Spirit would be letting God lead you. The Spirit of God. You walk in his understanding. But flesh means in your own understanding. See, the flesh is enmity with God. Your understanding clashes with God's understanding. So if you're walking in the flesh, you're walking according to your own understanding. Now, if you believe Jesus came in the flesh, you are of God. I'm not making this up. When Jesus was born into or on this planet in Bethlehem, was he born with a full and complete understanding of God? In other words, we have him in eternity past, and then he is born in Bethlehem. When he became a human being, did he carry with him all of his knowledge and understanding of God that he had in eternity? See, we know he was the God of Israel, but did he bring with him all of that understanding? As a child, could he look out at the sunset and say, oh, I made that? See, exactly what did he understand growing up before, let's say, before his baptism? Well, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God in man. Well, how could he increase in wisdom if he already had it all? So why does this even matter? You'll see people paint pictures of the little baby Jesus with a halo on his head. Why would you do that? Why would you think that he was carrying all of that understanding all of his life? Why is it so hard to believe he became a man and grew in wisdom and understanding? Because if you are a Trinitarian and that baby was born without that understanding, then the Trinity did not exist. You did not have a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, co-eternal, co-in equality. Say, if you're going to believe the Trinity, you have to deny that Christ was born in eternity, and you have to deny that he came in the flesh. He came in his own understanding without an understanding of God. He became a man. This was already happening in the days of the apostles, that people in the church were separating from the apostles for these very two things. How do I know? John says so. 1 John 2 and 1 John 4. John tells us this was an issue. So Paul writes in Philippians, I want to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That made himself of no reputation actually is he emptied himself. He emptied himself. He took upon him the form of a servant and came to be in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Why would Paul even cover that? Because it contradicts the Antichrist movement that was happening in his time. They were denying that he came as a man. He came in the flesh. They were denying that. They believed he came. They believed he was Christ. But they denied that he came in the flesh, that he had to grow in wisdom like the rest of us. And he did. And once you begin to pick that up, and you realize that what Paul and these guys were teaching was based on the Old Testament. Remember in Acts 17 when Paul went into Berea and preached, and they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was teaching was so. He couldn't have been teaching them anything different from the Old Testament. That was the only Bible they had. So you begin to realize, well, hey, the scriptures of the Old Testament defend what the apostles are writing in the New, because they are trying to explain the Old Testament to us. So let me say this again. It looks like that we have been in the apostasy all of our lives. And what we were told to be truth about Christianity was not Christianity. It was Catholicism. That's all we've ever heard is Catholicism, different aspects of it. The Protestant church is separated from Catholicism, but took the Catholic doctrines with them. They had Catholicism in their heart. They believed in the Trinity. They believed that he did not come in the flesh. and they were all founded on Catholic doctrine. They just didn't accept the Pope, but they had all the Catholic doctrine. So all of our lives, we have been living in an apostasy. We've been taught that it's the truth. You want to know what Revelation is about? That's what it's about. How the people of God come out of the apostasy and give the message of truth, blow the trumpets, give the message of truth to the world, and then to the Jew. And the Bible is very specific about how that will happen. Paul told us about how that would happen. I want to read, though, another text dealing with Antichrist. In 2 John, chapter 7, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, again, that is a big deal to the apostles that we understand Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and remains not in the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. He that remains in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Consider what we're reading here. These guys were writing, they saw the Antichrist spirit. John warns us of it, and it is a big deal to believe Jesus came in the flesh. Again, not to be so redundant, but they came out of the apostolic church, the Antichrist. They believed Christ died for their sin. They believe he was buried. They believe he was raised from the dead. They believe people saw him after being raised from the dead. And John stresses, every spirit that confesses Jesus came in the flesh is of God. See, if you can get to that place, if you can say that, he came in his own understanding and had to be taught. If you can say that, then you can say the Trinity isn't true. The Trinity isn't true. The Trinity says Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all equal, co-eternal, or co-equal. But if Jesus was in the understanding of a man and had to be taught, the Trinity did not exist during that time. So Antichrist cannot accept the fact of Jesus' humanity. Oh, he was fully human. He was fully human and fully God. See, they can't let it go. You know why he was God as a man? Because it's who he was, not what he was. Who he was. He was the God of Israel, born in eternity past. He was the God of Israel, so he was God. But he was a man without an understanding of God. And he grew in his understanding. He grew in wisdom and stature. He grew in it. Think about it. Can you confess that? You know, why do we have all the hardship understanding the truth about the Son of God, except that we want to defend our denominational church? We want to defend the group that we meet with. And See, groups and denominations don't change. Individuals change. So you're going to have to use the Bible to defend your faith, to seek the truth. And I know there are people who don't do that. There are people who want to base what they believe on tradition. But you're just not going to do that here with me. Take your Bible and show me where I'm wrong, and write me, send emails, leave comments, do whatever you want. But if I'm wrong, please help me. I'm not trying to deceive anyone. I'm simply telling you that that is a huge statement, a blanket-to-blanket Christianity, and say, if you believe he came in the flesh, you're of God. Well, again, taking that literally, every church out here believes that he came. Did he come to the planet? Yes, he did. Was he in the flesh? Well, literally, yes. What about spiritually? Oh, no, he couldn't be. He's God. He knew everything. Well, the Lord is telling you, if you can get past that and understand the truth, he was a man and he grew in wisdom and he learned the truth. And I'm telling you, that study right there, we could go into it. And there's all kinds of things we'll begin to see in that, of what happened. But in this podcast, we're dealing with Revelation, and that's why these first few podcasts have gone in the direction they've gone. You have to understand similitudes and signifying and symbols. You have to understand those things, and you have to understand the apostasy has been here for 2,000 years. You have to understand, to come out of the apostasy, you have to see the truth about the Godhead, and you have to see the truth about the Son of God becoming a man. Two essential truths, so we can dig into Revelation and begin to see the truth of what God is telling us about the end of the world and being a part of the last generation church. Heavenly Father, I can't express enough what need we have of your spirit and your understanding. And I pray that you would bless this study, that people's hearts might be changed, and that we might begin to worship and serve the only true and living God. You are Yah. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.